I think we ought to do that one more time, right? Everybody get back up. Come on. I think you're all going to go to sleep during the sermon. Give a big thanks to our youth who led worship and our children who kept us in worship. Great job. Thank you, Georgia. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to Westview Community Church. My name is, for our guests, my name is Brian Smith. I'm our lead pastor, and we're glad you're here. A couple things I want to cover real quick is at the end of the service, for our guests, we have a meet and greet. We will meet right after the service under this cross. If you've been coming here your first time or a few times, come hang out with us. We want to get to know you. Just take a few minutes of your time and connect with you. Also, our guests, when you walked in the door, you got this worship guide on the back. Are these sermon notes to kind of follow along with what we're going to talk about here next. But kids, this is really cool. Kids, you got a special version of our sermon notes. So this is a thing, is that there's pins and stuff around the back of your seat. Kids, we want you to follow along, and I'll tell you what to do and what to draw, but your version is much more fun than the adult's version. Don't let your parents take your version. You get to color, draw, do whatever, and the adults get this boring one, right? So at the end of the service, like we said before, when you leave, kids, finish this out, and then when you go out these doors, there'll be people out there, show them your completed sermon note, and they'll give you a little prize, all right? So we'll all have fun together going through the sermon notes. Whew, all right. So I want to start today and talk about two stories, or two very short stories, but there is a moral to each story that can be summarized with one word. And I don't want you to say that word yet because you haven't heard the story, but I want you to tell me when the stories are done, what do you think is the one word which summarizes the moral of these stories? So the first story, there's a man walking through the park and he comes across a Little League baseball game. And so he walks behind a dugout and there's a little boy sitting in a dugout on the seat and he leans in there and he says, "Son," he goes, "what's the score of the game?" And the little boy looked at him, he says, "It's 18-0 and we're behind." And the man goes, "Oh." He goes, "Well, hey, keep your chin up. Don't get discouraged." And the little boy looked at him. He says, "Well, why would I be discouraged?" He says, "We haven't been up to bat yet." So think of the moral of that story. The moral of that story. Now, there's one other story. This couple have a baby girl. And what's really interesting about this baby girl is as she grows up, they notice that she's positive. She's like uber positive. She sees the good in everything. She's so far on the positive side that they eventually take her to a psychologist because they're afraid that she won't adapt to reality. You know, everything isn't always like this. So they take her to a psychologist, and the psychologist says, "You know what?" He said, "Her birthday's coming up. I got an idea." He says, "Here's a plan." He goes, "On her next birthday, I want you to give her a present, but in that present, I want you to give her manure." And I thought, well, that's an interesting, you know, they're willing to try anything because they're really concerned about her. And they thought, well, this guy knows what he's talking about. So they did that. They got a birthday present, wrapped it up in a nice box, wrapping and a bow, and then it was manure. And they gave it to her on her birthday. And she opened it, and she looked in there, and she had this perplexed look on her face. But then immediately she got this big, bright eye look of joy on her face, and she said, "Yes!" And she zipped out of the house. She ran out of the house. And her parents look at each other going, "What just happened?" And they hear her flying through the backyard saying, "They're trying to fool me, but I know with that much manure, there is a pony here somewhere." So, what's one word that describes both stories? The moral of the story. Hope. Hope. And that's what we're going to talk about today is hope. And so there's several kinds of hope. We're going to drill down on one. And those are stories of hope. But there's blind optimism, which is hope. There's hopeful dreams. There's wishful thinking. That's not the hope we're going to talk about today. But then those types of hope, when you talk about blind optimism, hopeful dreams, it's like, here's some examples of that. It's like, "I hope I get a bike for Christmas." Okay, that's kind of hopeful thinking. Or, "I hope our team wins a game." Or, "I hope I don't get a spanking for breaking that." Those are kind of wishful thinking, possibility type hope. But the hope we're talking about today is a hope that we find in the Bible, God's Word. And this kind of hope is a hope that we're passionate about. And so I want you to look at this quote, and we're going to put this quote up overhead, that talks about this Christian hope. And so the hope we're talking about here is Christian hope, or the hope of the Bible, is not a passion for the possible. It is a passion for the promise. So this is the difference between Christian hope and just routine daily hope. As a routine daily hope hopes for the possible, Christian hope hopes for passionately the promise. So what is the promise? Biblical hope is a confidence. It's not wishful thinking. It's confidence that God loves us and he will fulfill his promises to those who trust him. God promises that he will change our lives. God promises that he will guide us through this life. God promises he will work out the bad things in life for our good. And God promises us that we'll have eternal life. That is the hope for the promise. So, adult people, sermon note number one. Sermon note number one. Kids, I'll catch you in just a second. Sermon note number one. Our hope, before I give you that note, our hope in Christianity hinges on only one thing. Our hope in all of our Christianity hinges on only one thing. And that's in sermon note number one. Our hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope in our faith completely hinges on the fact that Jesus died and beat death and rose from the grave so we could do that. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Our kids and us talked about this in the Believe It or Not camp. We talked about, because Jesus rose from the dead and beat death, we can rise from the dead and beat death. And we get to live with him forever in eternity. But here's the thing, in Christianity, you take away the resurrection, we have no hope. You take away that one part of our story, and the story of Jesus Christ, you take away the resurrection, we don't have any hope. What we have is wishful thinking, that maybe we'll get to heaven, or maybe something good will happen. And that's blind optimism. This is not the hope of the Bible. The hope of the Bible is 100%, it's confident, and it's assured. So kids, on your sermon notes here, what I want you to do is draw this. On this first picture of the tomb and the little stone that's enrolled in front of the tomb, this is where Jesus was buried and rose again. I want you to draw a cross on top of that tomb and put a little sun there that shines light on it. And that cross reminds us, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can have eternal life and we can rise from the tomb. The sun, and I'm talking about the sun like shines above, is the light that reminds us every day, and that light is inside us too. We're going to talk about that. All right, everybody keeping up the sermon notes so far? So think about Jesus and his time on earth. Everywhere he went, he brought hope. He was a bright light of hope. The 3 years of his public ministry on earth, he brought hope to countless people suffering in darkness. He brought hope to those who healed miraculously. He brought hope to those who were brokenhearted. He brought hope to those who were lost in their sin. He brought hope to his disciples, especially the 12 who followed him. They saw hope in him. That's why they followed him. And he brought hope to all of us from the cross. You see, on that cross, Jesus paid the price for all of our sin. Our sin takes our hope away. It separates us from God, and it separates us from heaven. Jesus paid the price on the cross. He said 3 words, "It is finished." We don't have to pay the price for our sin because he did. We are forgiven because of what he did on the cross. All we have to do is believe and follow him. So how do we do that? It starts with this hope in us. It's a flame. It's a flame that exists right here in our heart. Do you know this flame of hope that God puts in us is inextinguishable? It's a big word. It means there's nothing outside us that can put it out. In this dark and troubled world, this light inside our heart, this hope, is seen by those who don't have it. God gives us hope, this light in us, so it'll be visible to everyone around us. And so we'll tell them about this hope. And God wants to invite others who don't know him, who don't know his son Jesus, to receive his forgiveness and his guidance and be welcomed into the family and be welcomed into eternity through the hope that we have in all of us. We have this, what we call a case for hope. It's inside us. And ladies and gentlemen, it is good news to everybody who hears it. So let's take a look at sermon note number 2. Sharing this good news, sharing this hope that's inside us, is the future of our church. The future of our church depends on each one of us in this room sharing about the hope, the good news that's inside of us. So kids, on your sermon note page, I want you to draw this. See this here? It says, do you see the big G and the big N? If you trace the letters, you're going to spell out good news. And right underneath that, I want you to draw a picture of the church. Now, the church might be a building, but church is people. So you might draw whatever that looks like to you. But I want you to trace these two words so it spells good news. And the good news comes through the church. I want you to draw church right underneath that. So think about it. If you struggled in math, this is a time you can overcome this. Because if we don't share the good news, the church will decline and it will end. Did you know the average lifespan of a church, a body of believers, is only 40 to 70 years? The average. And the reason why, I'd love to sit there and go over all the reason whys, but I read this book. It's sitting on my desk. It's called The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. Sounds graphic, doesn't it? Autopsy of a Deceased Church. You know what the number one reason why churches close within 40 to 70 years? It's because the people inside the church became more important than the people outside the church. They quit sharing their hope. And I know I rattle cages every time I bring that up. That the reason why we're here is not for us, it's for those outside this church. But we come here to worship, we come here to be a body together, we come here to disciple and grow, to share the good news outside. That is our sole purpose, is that others may know this hope inside of us. But the number one reason churches die in 40 to 70 years is because they quit sharing their hope and they became more about themselves. The big C, Christ Church, will not fail. Let's be clear about this. In Matthew 16, it says the gates of hell, we sang this, the gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. It will succeed. But let me tell you, the local church and denominations can fail when we don't share the hope that's inside of us. And I'm not talking staff doing this. I'm not talking a select few. It is the body of Christ that shares this hope. We all have this hope. So church is us. You know, and what's interesting about Westview, this body of Christ, is we're approaching here, not before too long, our 100-year anniversary. And we're going to fight every day that all of us are sharing hope so our kids have the legacy, the next families have the legacy of this church and this body of believers, that we are set on sharing our hope to the world. So, church is us, people. There's a light inside our hearts. It is a light of hope. It is required in the Bible. It is commanded that we share our hope with others. So today in this service, we're celebrating family. We're celebrating with our children. We're celebrating a focus on our Believe It or Not camp they just had. And you know what those kids learned in the Believe It or Not camp? They learned about Jesus' birth, his life, his resurrection. And they learned how to share it with others. And you should, I got to be there during part of it. You should see the little hope in them just flicker up like a big flame. And they all have this hope as they go out. Our kids are excited about sharing the hope that's inside them. The camp was based on the book, Lee Strobel's book, Case for Christ, but it was a case for Christ for kids. It was kind of brought in a way that they could understand it. So we taught them how to be prepared to share the hope, is what the camp was all about. But the cool thing was is that we did this one in the evening, so grandparents and parents could come with them as a family. They learned that together. So we did something a little different. And you got to see the fun dance. And you got to see Fred dance in that Wookiee suit for almost 20 minutes straight, and he survived. But their hearts have a bigger flame. In a sense, they learned apologetics. They learned to be able to even defend what they believe. But the children memorized the scripture verse. So who was all in the camp? Raise your hand. Adults and children. I want you to stand with me. Stand with me. And do you guys remember the scripture verse that we memorized? Do you remember? Do you think we can do it without me putting it up here? All right, let's try this. They had a memory verse the whole week. It was 1 Peter 3:15. That's what our sermon's about today. And so I'm going to have them share it with you first. Let's try this. Let's see if we can do it off memory. You must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Good job. Let's put that up there. Good job. Give them a hand. That's a big verse to memorize. So here it was. You must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope, be ready to share it. So that was their scripture. And we're going to kind of zoom in on that, but we're actually going to actually zoom out. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter 3:16. And we're actually going to look at the two verses before and the verse after. We're going to just broaden the lens a little bit and look at everything Peter was saying to this very young Christian church about sharing their hope. And we'll put up here overhead so you can read along with us. And this is what the scripture reads in a little bit more in context. It says, now, who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about the hope, your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. So that's the scripture we're going to zero in on today. And I want you to turn with me to sermon note number 3. So the key here is exactly what the kids said. People are going to see our hope in us and they're going to ask us about it. So how are we ready? How do we get ready? So these next 4 points are how we're ready. So children, you're going to have 4 things you get to do as we go through these sermon notes here in just a sec. So sermon note number 3, we need to be ready to make a case for our hope. So there's 4 ways. The first way is a heart filled with Jesus has no room for fear. A heart filled with Jesus has no room for fear. So kids, I want you to go to your I keep putting it in the wrong place here. I want you to go to your drawing here, and kids, you have on your sermon note this dotted line that looks like a heart. We're going to trace that to create a heart. And then you got these letters that spell Jesus underneath. I want you to make those letters so big and draw them so big inside that heart that nothing else fits there. All right? So you're going to write Jesus inside that heart. You're going to write so big that nothing else fits there. So when we look at verse 15, it said, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. If you go look at the NIV version, it says, you must revere Jesus in your heart. They both mean the same thing, but I like that one a little better. You must have Christ so filling your heart that there's no room for anything else. What that means is what he's saying is that you want to be ready to share your hope? It starts here. We think it starts here. When you say, I need to share my hope, my faith with somebody, I worry because I think it's an intellectual thing. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a heart thing. People see your changed life before they see your knowledge. Now, your knowledge is important, but we're talking, Peter goes right at it, heart. He says a heart that loves Jesus and his life is changed or her life is changed by Jesus. That heart changes and it fills with him. Your whole life becomes for the one who saved you and worshiping him and following him. And that fire of hope is right here, guys. That fire of hope is not up here. And the number one reason we don't share our hope is fear. Is fear. What he's trying to say is in our heart, if Christ isn't the big thing, there's going to be all kinds of room in your heart for fear. And And so if we're afraid to share about Christ, the reason why is because he's not the Lord of our life right now. For some reason, we're worshiping something else. But when he takes over our heart, you can't shut up about him. Second thing. So a heart filled with Jesus has no room for fear. That's how we're ready first. Second way we're ready is our lives. And the kids sang this in the song. Our lives are great proof of the good news. This is going back to verse 15. Kids, I want you, there's a blank box right here. I want you to draw a self-portrait, a picture of you. Because you're the proof of the hope that's in us. People see your life. So in this blank box, draw a picture of you. Verse 15, yeah, looking at this verse again, it says, if someone asks you about your what? Say it. Hope. It's saying, what are they going to see in you? They're not going to see that you drive to church on Sunday. They're not going to see a Christian in this title. They're going to see your hope is what makes the difference. And they're going to ask questions. They're going to see that your day has a step to it like no other. They're going to see a light in your eyes that's very much different than what they have. They're going to see a beauty in your speech about how you're living that changes. That's like they need to have that. They're going to see you navigate the hardest things of life with your chin up and your focus on eternity. And that's going to make a lot, it's going to make them wonder, what is it that you have that they don't have? And it's that hope. Peter says they're going to see your hope. Your life is so changed that I have nothing but hope. The world can do whatever it wants to me. I'm going here, and I have a plan to be with my God in eternity. People see your life. Your life is proof. That's how we're ready. They see your bravery. They'll ask, so be ready. Third thing, God's word strengthens our case. So this is important. God's word, the Bible. So kids, there's a picture of a book down here. I want you to draw on that picture of that book and make it look like a Bible. So color it, write words on it. Whatever way you think this makes that ordinary book look like God's word, draw on it. Many people fear sharing about the hope inside of them because they feel like they don't know God's word, or I can't begin to share about what I understand in the Bible. And I want to share something. If your fear is there, I want to tell you something that you're really underselling yourself. Because everything you believe about God and who his son is because of God's word. Now, I may not be able to quote eloquently scripture word for word, but don't miss this. 98% of everything you believe is because of his word. So we just got to get better at our word. The more we know his word, the more we know his love story about how he redeemed the world through his son and how he's getting them back and how God's getting his created world back to him in redemption, the better we understand the word, the better we can stand and share it. So we got to get into the word. And you can start today. You'll get better. Last thing. The last way we're ready is we will be guided on how to make our case. So God tells us this. We're going to be guided on how to share our hope. So kids, this last box has a maze on it. See the arrow at the top? And there's a hole in the bottom. Your goal is to draw a line all the way through the maze that brings you out on the other side. To be guided all the way through this maze so you come out without running into a wall. Ask your parent or somebody there with you to help you, but this is how we guide through life. So people say a lot of times, I really do want to share my hope. I love who God is and who his son is and what his son did for me, but I just don't know if I got the right words to say when the time comes. And I think it's natural. That's okay. It's natural to be anxious about whether our heart and our mind will be sufficient for sharing in that moment when somebody asks us about our hope. But Jesus promised us something supernatural to help us. He promised us the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is in us. We have a supernatural power, but when we say, well, I'm not sure I know the words, we don't have to know the words. We got a power inside us that will help us with the words. So Luke 12 is the gospel here of Luke, tells us, these are the very words of Jesus. And it says, Jesus says, hey, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. Jesus was telling his disciples, you won't have that. I'm giving you supernatural power to help you. The whole point of this verse is that that moment will be beyond us. And trust and lean into God's Spirit to tell us what to say. I'm going to tell you, if you have not done this, if you try to always do it on your own power, it's frustrating. It can fall short. But this is bravery even for me. When I'm sitting across on a coffee cup with somebody and I'm trying to explain to them what the Bible says and what God, how much God loved us, they sent his son. And I lean into the Spirit because a lot of times they ask really hard questions. And I'm amazed at how many times the Holy Spirit shows up. Sometimes he says, Brian, shut up, just listen. And sometimes he says exactly what we need to say. But I lean into him the minute I start the conversation. I'm not perfect, guys, but this is one of the most beautiful experiences you'll ever have, is getting the words from God how to share. He does all the work. We think we do the work. We don't. He does all the work. His Spirit convicts, changes. We just got to show up. So how are we ready to share our hope? Recap. It starts here in our heart. If Jesus fills our heart, there won't be room for fear. It's how we live our lives. People notice how we live our lives. We are bright lights. God's word prepares us. Get into it. Start today. That's no longer an excuse Westview can use. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Get after it. Let God's word just grow you, and then you'll be able to help others grow. And God will guide us. He never leaves us. His Spirit is in us. Even in the hardest conversations, trust him to give you the words. Trust him that when you walk away from that coffee shop meeting, he is still at work on that person after their heart. Every day after that, every hour, every minute. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is the hope of the world, and we are the people to share that hope to the world. And all God's people said really loud.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ushers, would you come forward, please, for the offering? And as they come forward, we're going to bow our heads in prayer together. We're going to pray to God for the changes in our lives. We're going to pray to God about how a church can be empowered to share this hope that's in us, to be brave. So let's go to him, and let's ask for that right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you first for your son. We don't have hope. For you loved us so much, you sent your son to die and pay the penalty for sin so we didn't have to. And Father, because of that, now we are free. We are forgiven. All we have to do is believe in Jesus and what he did and follow him. And our hope is rock solid. It's not wishful thinking. Our hope is rock solid that one day we'll be in heaven with you. In the meantime, that gives us power to get through this life. But Father, you put a light in all of us to share with others. And so, Father, don't let one person walk out of this room without the reality of the power of the hope and the light that's in them and the power to change the world. Father, there's 6-7 billion people on this planet and 4 billion don't know your son. We got a lot of work to do. And a lot of people are looking for this hope. Father, I pray for all the people that did I just praise you for all the hard work that went on during Believe It or Not Camp. All the leaders, all the people that invested in that, all the people that came. Father, kindle those lights, that hope, and everybody who attended. Father, I pray for our Grapple kids, our third, fourth, fifth graders, that group. They're going to camp this week, and their counselors, where they're going to learn more about this light and this hope inside them. Father, there's two people in our church I just want to hold up right now. We've been holding up this week. I want to hold up Mayor and Al Rankin's daughter, Aubrey, who's been battling cancer for years, and she's going through a really hard time. They're really hopeful that she can get into the University of Iowa, into their special program right now. But, Father, we just ask for a special blessing and the healing of her. Father, we pray for Rome and the grandson of Gary and Jody Buss. Little Roman has a heart defect. And on August 10th, he's going to go to have surgery to repair that heart defect. And so we pray and hold up that family. And Father, I pray for those in the room here today that don't know Jesus as their Savior, that Father, you would show yourself in a very special way and be known to them, and that their eyes would be open, and that we would have this hope, not wishful thinking, but solid hope that there's a God who loves them so much he sent his son to die for them, and that they can have eternity through him. Father, make that happen today. Awaken hearts here. Father, bless everybody here as we give. We're giving right now in some way to move the hope out of us into the world. So as we give of our time, our resources, our money, everything it takes to move the kingdom, it takes us. We have this great hope inside us. Father, bless everybody here as they give in their own special way. Give back to you just a little bit of everything you've given to us. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
From Lydia's story. For my birthday, I decided to give pinto to the needy.
I thought that it was amazing that he rose from the dead, because like, if somebody in a person like here like died and they rose from the dead, it'd be like exciting, I guess. To believe that Jesus rose from the dead and that he's alive today.
Believe it or not,
whatever Jesus says goes.
No, there I am. Here we go. Hi. As you can see, we had so much fun at family camp a couple weeks ago. My name's Katie, but 2 weeks ago during family camp, I was the curator of our Believe It or Not museum. And at the beginning of each night, our museum came alive with Believe It or Not miracles. Two miracles we brought to life were from the Bible: when Jesus calmed the storm, and when he rose from the grave during the resurrection. But we also brought a story to life about a young girl named Lydia Delgado. Lydia and her family had very little and lived in a pretty rundown place. One day, somebody surprised them with lots of food at their doorstep. And instead of keeping it all for themselves, they decided to share it with their neighbors in need. Lydia and her grandmother took food to them and told them how much Jesus loves them. They shared their hope in Jesus with others through words and action. We can do the same. Our kid ministry kicked off a non-perishable food drive 2 weeks ago. Thanks to help from many of you, we will meet our goal of 10 boxes of food. Some of the boxes will be stored here for those who come to request food from time to time. And these boxes on the stage that were decorated and prayed over by our families at family camp are for giving away to a neighbor that we may already know who needs it. We can be like Lydia and help others who are struggling before they even ask. So if any of you know a neighbor or a friend who could use a box of food, please feel free to get one of these boxes and let Georgia or I know. Thank you, Westview, for your help and for providing hope for families in need.
Thank you, Katie. All right. Well, we're about ready to wrap up here. Kids, just a reminder, take your completed sermon notes. I asked Lene if we're going to do this every Sunday. She says, I'm not sure. It's a lot of work. But take this out the door, this door, there'll be somebody there. Show them your completed drawings, and they'll give you a gift there. To our guests, I'd ask a couple things. One is that we would love you to fill out this Connect card and drop it off at our Welcome Center out there. We have a small gift, but we just want to reach out to you and just see if there's any questions that we can answer for your visit here. But the second opportunity is you can just come under the cross over here right after the service. We'd like to meet you personally. So you have either option, wherever you're more comfortable with. Another announcement, a couple announcements. One is Art Matheny, our new discipleship pastor, is arriving this week from California. We were going to help him Tuesday night move, but they had to move his closing back to Wednesday morning. So if you're available Wednesday during the day at 10 a.m., I know that excludes a lot of us, but if you want to come out, it'll move pretty quick, but we could use all the warm bodies we can on a warm day to throw boxes. So just let our office know so I can connect with you and let you know where we're meeting. And remember that our international students are coming here in a short amount of time. We have a lot of activities planned through August. And many of them are coming, and their hope is in their education. And we want you to partner with them and make them feel very welcome, get adjusted to here, and share the hope that's in you. And that's what that's all about. So would you please rise with me? I want to leave you with a Chinese proverb. Let's be a little unique here today. A Chinese proverb. It says, "It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." Let me say that again. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. We are the hope of the world. Light your candle when you walk out of here and go share that with somebody today. Have a great week. Through you.